Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning.
Sorry.
That's all right. It's okay. It's just I'm
excited to see Ira here.
It's always exciting to see Ira here. We are. It's our panel discussion. Let me introduce everybody. Boy, they look great today. Alan and Rosemary are wearing matching hats. That's cool. You can see
Mad
that online.
Mad Bomber hats.
At WAMC.org. And we'll tell you about that in a second. WAMC's Alan Chartok, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe.
I guess they're different colors, aren't they?
Mine's black, yeah. My favorite color.
I tried to get an exact duplicate, but they didn't have it. But I was looking also for a red star to put on my hat, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah. Those are hard to
this
find.
This is
these
the
days.
Weather for it. This is leather fur, faux. For weather, it's so cold.
So we have here Alan Chartok playing the role of Warren Beatty in Reds, and you're playing the role of Diane Keaton
in Reds.
Could be worse.
I love that.
Yeah, great
okay,
movie.
Diane Keaton is awesome.
Rosemary Armeo is here, in hat. University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter, and it's a thrill to have her back on the program.
Always.
Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussfeld is with us. You have a hat on too, sir.
Yes, it's the best I could do. This is a baseball cap with the figure of Roger the Alien, who is, in my view, one of the funniest characters on TV. He's an animated character on American Dad.
And, yes.
my son used to write for that show, but objectively, he is one of the funniest characters. That's what I can do for this group today. And Joe is hatless.
Yeah, I am hatless. I didn't.
Hatless in Albany.
let's get to some exciting news. You may remember if you joined us yesterday, we had just hit the $400,000 mark in the fund drive in the lockbox. Reminder that we're trying to get to the $500,000 point so that we can get a $25,000 challenge from
that
the Spitzer Foundation.
That we must get to.
So we have until February 1st. That's about a week and 2 days. So that's where we left you yesterday. I believe we needed $99,800 left. Well, lo and behold, this morning we check in and the lockbox is at, where's the drum roll? There we go. $412,804.30.
And then the Spitzers will give us $25,000.
Right. If we make, what is that? That's $87,000.
Well, it's getting faster and faster, but I'm worried.
It's pre-whoosh.
Yes, but I'm worried because we only have a week and a couple of days to do it in. I need everybody to just get over there and do, we need it. We all do together, you know, as soon as
one,
you can.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days.
That's not a lot.
10 days and a morning. Well, you have today, obviously. So really 11. So that's not bad. we'll make a good crack at it. Right?
I think it's bad.
Most of the listeners, we hope and think, are not going to be distracted by the blizzard, which seems to be staying
pretty much south of most of this market.
Yeah. Yes. So there should be no reason to be conflicted about this.
No, not at all. Not even the stock market.
Well, that's don't get me started.
Well, I'm going to get you started because that is one of our topics today. We have a lot we can talk about. I think I'm going to begin with a story let's look into the Vladimir Putin story. The British inquiry points to Vladimir Putin in radioactive killing of spy. The two words that ended up here are probably approved. Those are the words. That's the quote. President Vladimir Putin of Russia probably approved the murder of a former KGB officer who died after drinking tea laced with radioactive material, according to a British report. Now, we all suspected that, right? Is that true?
That is true.
Okay.
Yeah, but
long suspected.
Suspect is not proof.
Neither is this report.
Yes. Is probably approved proof?
No. If anything else, I think it will help his image. He'll deny it, and everyone will know but not be able to hang it on him. And so he comes out again as a tough guy who gets what he wants, who goes to any measure to get what he wants.
So this is tragic, but it's movie stuff, right? I mean, it's polonium-210 in the tea.
What a way to kill somebody, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, that's definitely for dramatic effect.
Would it be inappropriate to say could this possibly happen in this country?
Well, we're poisoning our children in Flint, so yeah.
Listen, it's nothing surprises most of us anymore. This certainly does not register among the top 10 if it as a surprise, because this is sort of what we expect out of that country and out of that leader. But I just wonder what's going on in the world to make us think that this just doesn't happen many more times than just this case.
I think that's actually a really good question. Does it happen here? We act like we're set aside, that we're separate from the way politics operates elsewhere. And I think that's a really great question.
You know, Joe raised it as a movie. You know, again, I'm one
plot.
Of The Godfather, the scene when Diane Keaton, played by Rosemary Romero, says to Al Pacino, you know, Al Pacino tries to convince her that the politicians, which she says naively that politicians don't have people killed.
Right.
And Al Pacino says, who's being naive?
When the phone hacking scandal swept through Britain, and it was looking like newspaper people were paying off policemen, and all of them were paying off the telecoms to hack into people's phones, we said, oh no, that never happens here. And I hope that's true. We certainly have not proved it happens here, but you worry about it. So
there we go. Anything on that, Alan? Did you want to?
Alan doesn't want to say anything negative about the Russians because he's wearing this hat.
No. I mean, there certainly is a lot of conjecture. Have there been politicians who are crooked enough to murder somebody? Of course. Of course there have. I don't want to point any specific fingers, but let me just remind everybody that Whitey Bulger, you remember Whitey Bulger was responsible for many, many murders. We do know that his brother who had been the president of the Massachusetts Senate, not to be very careful about what I say here, professed great love for his brother. And in the end, it was determined he knew things about his brother. That's all I'm going to say.
Interesting. Putin is a very dangerous man, and I hope that Donald Trump is rethinking his words, that this is someone he admires and respects.
Okay, so that brings us to the Donald Trump story and what I have termed in the topics that I sent last night is that Trump Palin punched his girlfriend in the face, and it is President Obama's fault.
Track.
Yeah.
I thought you said Trump.
No, you said Trump, but it was Track.
Track Palin.
Yeah.
Track
Palin. Ira thinks you said Trump.
Yeah, but regardless, okay. It's Track.
Yeah, so Track Palin.
Dizzy.
Track Palin punches his girlfriend in the face and kicked her. And then, so she missed an event yesterday, Sarah Palin, who has now joined the Trump campaign as a surrogate. And she missed an earlier event, but then later she came out and said basically that the combat service that her son was in when he was stationed in Iraq led to PTSD, and ultimately that because... even though it was domestic violence and it involved weapons, that it was the president's fault because he had not done enough for veterans to help them in their time of need.
Wow.
Have you no shame?
Yeah, come on. Even veterans today are saying, right. Get real. That's ridiculous. You don't blame the president for PTSD, which is a really serious, horrible disease that we need to take care of.
And it was certainly around way before this president.
Yeah. And if she thought that he had this problem, why wasn't she seeking help? Or he, in fact, was, if it was that serious that he would actually punch out his girlfriend, why wasn't he institutionalized, at least short term, to treat it?
This is a very interesting story to watch as it's being reported. Here's what's underreported. Was Track a combat veteran? We know he was in the service because she boasted about that all through her last election. What did he see combat? Does he have PTSD? Was he ever treated? In fact, there's a history of violence in the Palin household that predates Track even coming back from the service. This is they are regarded in throughout Alaska as our stereotypical, I'm putting quote marks around this, white trash. They do this sort of thing. It has happened before. There are guns all over that house. It has much more to do with Sarah Palin. And again, I called her parenting skills into question yesterday. I do again, not skills, but intentions.
But let's try to read her mind. Is she flailing as a mother to find an excuse for this action, and her default position, because this is the way her mind works these days, is to blame Obama, or it has been said that Trump urged her to bring this up, the elephant in the room, as she described it. Did the campaign say to her, let's link this into Obama?
I don't know, obviously.
Neither is
but,
right.
But I would tend to think not, because this is not like it's not unlike anything that she would do prior to her affiliation with the campaign.
This is the woman who dragged her developmentally disabled child to every campaign appearance. That was so horrible. Like, look at me. I like disability. It was awful. And isn't this the same thing? Look, I have a – then she did the same with track. You know, look, my son's going into combat. Right. I'm a patriot. And now PTSD, I support our troops. It's –
You ask the questions
bad.
Of what we know of his service. We ask what we know of his diagnosis of PTSD. And I don't mean to be the cynical, jaded journalist, but
don't know.
Okay, right. But in this climate of what we've been going through over the last 8 months, even if it is, does it matter?
No, I still think it's ridiculous. Like me saying my back problems are Obama's fault. You know, if he had supplied free mattresses to people or something, I wouldn't have a bad back. It's crazy. The other thing is that the right wing media is reporting this in a way different way than we did. We had several references to smacking the girlfriend in the face on Morning Joe today. They talked about how we said punched in the face. They were saying, oh, he smacked her, and didn't say the face at all. Smack is a much gentler verb.
Well, she had a black eye. Okay.
So let's say what Rosemary made the point earlier, that from what we're hearing initially, even some veterans are upset by this kind of characterization.
Oh, yeah.
At what point, if at all, do we think that Trump will say, I've got what I need out of Palin, which is the endorsement to help push back Cruz a little bit in Iowa, and we won't see her on the stump for Trump going forward?
I don't
because
think that's
she's
the case.
Damaged.
No, I don't think that's the case.
You think
they're going to use her? I think that she's going to be extremely helpful to the demographic that they're trying to
Even if she loses, as
I was
we say,
not
the
only. I was not the only conservative, really.
No.
They love Sarah Palin mm-hmm. and the Tea Party, yeah. and there are many states where she is going to help him. No, I don't think she's going to go away.
And they like her for exactly the same reason they like Trump.
Yeah,
which is he'll say he says what he means. Oh yeah, okay. What does he mean? I don't know. But he says what he means.
And really, what did she say? Is it anything worse than let's keep all the Muslims out of the United States? That kind of annoyed a few people,
too.
Did
you think that even Trump looked bemused and uncomfortable at that first press conference?
Oh, I thought he looked horribly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was just because he was not in control
right.
of the crazy, or that... he just thought, oh,
what
you
going to say next?
Right, we've made a mistake.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who should be able to do
right.
that. I did for anyone's reading pleasure. If you get a chance, there is a. I sent it to all of you. There was a New York Times piece about taking the 10 best lines of the
endorsement speech
of the Palin endorsement speech, and then trying to basically decipher it. As to what she meant
and what she wanted
and what she was trying to say, because at some point everyone who viewed it in a somewhat unbiased way found it to be rambling and odd.
Oh, it's so unusual from her compared to her usual speeches, or from Trump's, for that matter. There's also her campaign has already, when did she give that speech? Yesterday? Already has letters out to everyone seeking money, touting her performance endorsing Trump. Her PAC is collecting
money
based on this.
Transportation money.
And I
wonder whether Trump likes that, because he constantly says, I'm not asking for your money.
And by the way, I know it's somewhat distracting and off the point, Rosemary, but every day I'm getting 1,000, maybe 1,500 emails a day. A lot of people. And what happens is that these guys who are raising money, I think, either give their lists away or share the list. So I'm getting, you know, hundreds of requests from obscure congressmen I never heard of asking me for money. It's very annoying, to say nothing of the people who call you and wake you up at my late hour of 8:30 at night on the telephone telling me that I should give money to this good group or that. I don't know who's on the other end of that telephone, and I'm not giving them anything. And I just say, don't call me again. They don't care. They just do it again.
No, they don't have to get that much, that big of a response. Everyone doesn't have to say yes in order for them to bring in.
Do they not qualify for the no-call list?
For the what?
The no-call list.
You know? I think they do, but you have to regularly apply.
Oh, my God.
I got to do that.
I have a friend who just said Donald Trump is always uncomfortable if he's not the center of attention. John McCain must really know what he feels like now.
We're calling for
advice.
We have to take a break.
Oh, yeah, one of those.
We'll pet our hats, and we'll be back. Or powder them, or whatever you do. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Ira Fussfeld are the panel this morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, go with the letters.
Okay, we got lots of letters. Okay, let's see. Ted says, Sarah Palin is a dream come true for the late night comedians. Can't wait to see Tina Fey again. Clay says, dear sirs, V. Putin became the czar by doing exactly the same thing over the course of his career, killing his enemies, promoting anyone who could help him. His paranoia seems to have grown proportional to his expanding powers. This particular methodology is not atypical of Russian leadership machinations. The roundtable sounds a little like this is something new. Please. That's from Clay. Okay. And Brian says, Alan, will Jeb W... Alan, will Jeb bring W out for a rally to combat Palin's celebrity? Trump and Palin dominating news coverage. Jeb needs a bounce. Thoughts?
Don't you think it's interesting that W has not appeared at anything?
Well, I think there's a sense of a presidential, you know... I think also... here's what I really think. If you really want to know what I really, really think is... That W may be a little embarrassed by Jeb's performance, and he did bring Papa out.
Papa's infirm, so he can't go on the
stump.
Bill Clinton is out there. He's the former president.
Well, he's also married to the candidate.
To me, the fact that W has not been stumping for Jeb says that they don't believe he could be helpful.
Either they don't believe he could be helpful. Or he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to damage his own reputation.
I don't believe that.
I would think at polling at 4%, you would try anything.
Yeah.
It is kind of.
That's why I'm saying, Joe, that I think it may be on W, not on Jeb, to make that decision. But it could be. We don't really know, right? Christopher says. Political donation calls. For your information, something that's worked for me has been to tell the representatives that I do not donate over the phone. I will listen to the pitch for a reasonable amount of time, and then I politely tell them I do not donate any money to anybody based on a call. I actually tell them the reason for this is the calls become invasive and irritating. Since I've started doing this, I've been getting barely any of these calls. I can't say it's due to my strategy, but it seems like it helped. Well, it's in the mind of the beholder because I've tried that and everything else, and they don't go away. They don't stop. Jamie says, we do not need nefarious plots to commit political murder when we have incompetence as an excuse. Flint, Michigan raises the issue of, will we finally criminally indict somebody for what has been done to an innocent population? And then he goes on, but we're not doing that. And then we've heard from Raymond. The panel today is sounding more sanctimonious than usual. In measurements against Putin... how many U.S. presidents have approved of bombing that have killed civilians and children? As for Palin's son, we all know that personal medical information is protected. So how can you question the validity of his position?
Wait, you can question whether he has PTSD. That would be something that...
Since she raised it, you certainly can.
Yeah, she's the one who raised it, so you certainly could. And that's crazy. Also, the thing about Putin is he got no real advantage from killing this guy. His information was not widely regarded. regarded as reliable, even by journalists who risk their lives to publish stuff.
Well,
he basically said bad things about Putin, and Putin got angry at him and killed him. That I don't think happens in the United States.
Well, no, that doesn't. But let me give you the other side of that. Even the governor of New York, who's been known to get even with his enemies, has, you know, nobody's ever suspected him of anything nefarious.
Like murdering him,
nefarious like that. Ted says, Sarah Palin's dream come true for late night comedians Tina Fey again. Let's see here. Ashley says, okay, done. Okay, we did that.
But just one more thing about the PA. There's nothing that says that Track did not come home with that problem. And there's nothing that says that that problem may have led him to allegedly
But the
leap was blaming Obama for it.
That Obama had not done enough to.
Yes.
And actually, more is being done. More is being even known about PTSD now than ever.
Right.
But the truth is that Track may be a combat veteran who is in the throes of a horrible mental. We just don't know
because we
have not reported
Absolutely
it. We're just listening to Sarah Palin.
Yes. But let's give him that, and let's give him that's the reason for the alleged infraction. That does not mean it's Obama's fault.
So, Jeremy says, greetings, Alan. Longtime listener. Enjoy listening to you raise money during the fund drives. That's the one. One of my favorite recent pitches when you and the team were jokingly selling protections for local communities. What do you mean, jokingly? I mean, I said, I'll protect you if you make a contribution. That's
sounds
all
like
I said.
The mafia.
That's all I said.
Okay, money,
in any case, Jeremy has a good idea. That got me thinking it might be fun and fruitful angle to encourage listeners to pledge in honor of their local library. That's a good idea, right, Joe? And then they could call in and they could say, this is for the Hillsdale Library. And you know, there could be a little competition and it would be good for the Library Association. I like the idea.
Sure.
Don't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Colony Library. We'll talk later.
Well, right. I think the library may want to cut.
I believe Joe's position on this, not that I'm being presumptuous enough to speak for Joe, is whatever works.
Yeah.
Let's just just get this money in, get that million, and we're back with the roundtable after this message.
Right. Marcia says, political calls do not fall under the do not call list rules. Just hang up immediately. I do that all the time. You know, I see it come in and I go, answer, and then, you know, and then hang up.
Do you know, I actually got caught last time. I'm so good at hanging up, but I got caught by the Albany Symphony yesterday. A young lady called me. She was adorable. And she said, I want to tell you about a fire sale. It works like this. Either I make a sale or I get fired. And I just started laughing. I ended up buying like $120 worth of tickets.
Oh, that's funny.
I know.
That's great.
She was wonderful.
I am impressed. I don't know the last time I answered a phone.
Can I have my wife talk to you? Because I'm constantly being criticized for not answering the phone.
I look down, and unless I
see the words Kelly Donahue or Alan Chartok, I usually don't pick up.
And then sometimes when it's Alan Chartok, you don't pick up. Okay. And Steve says, the roundtable panelists often decry Trump and Sarah Palin, as well as many other Republican conservative figures, for so-called hateful speech. It is interesting to me that when Rosemary said that John McCain should rot in hell for bringing Sarah Palin to the national platform, she said, yesterday on the roundtable, not one of the panelists calls her out for that hateful sentiment.
Actually, we did call her.
Joe did.
I actually admire respect John McCain, unlike Donald Trump, by the way. But he did a really, really, really bad thing with Sarah Palin. And my speech isn't really hateful because I don't really believe in hell.
He's already suffered enough for what happened.
His reputation took a big hit because of his support of and promotion of Sarah Palin.
Don't forget Trump the Superhawk had 6 or 7 draft deferments during Vietnam. Fairly typical of Superhawks, says Jim. Henry says, also part of the story from yesterday's Palin appearance was her blistering criticism of the Republican Party leadership. The Trump candidacy along with Cruz can potentially split the Republican Party going forward. And that's from Henry. You know, that makes sense. Steve says, we get to be amused by her again. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Okay.
One of her lines in the speech.
Right. When they imitate me around here, they all go, right. Okay. Robert says, Rosemary has hit a new low with her white trash comment. Okay. And that's Robert in Hyde Park. Ken says, so Track has exercised a Second Amendment right irresponsibly, and Mama Palin has exercised her First Amendment right irresponsibly. When can we start stripping the rights of the irresponsible to protect the rest of us? That's from Ken. I hope never, is my answer. George, yes, I think it could happen here. I may be thinking that this morning only because I finished watching Making a Murderer last night. Right now, I'm a little worried about what those in power can get away with if they choose, definitely when the target is of lesser status. John, it is so sad the Republicans have been blaming Mr. Obama for everything. They sound like a bunch of kids crying to their mothers if they don't have their way. Get real. That's from John. Mary says, hello, panel. I'm not hearing anything on the news to indicate that the children in Flint are receiving chelation therapy for lead poisoning. This is perhaps more relevant than all the political turmoil on which the media is focused. Christopher says, you all deserve special recognition for your stalwart efforts in keeping the Palin's wacky name straight. Will says, okay. Then, so that's what we got.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll be back and we'll get to some other topics. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Waka Waka, solar-powered phone chargers and lights for anyone in the world living without access to electricity. Share the sun. Waka-Waka.com. Hubbard Hall Center for the Arts and Education in Cambridge, New York, presenting the second annual Winter Carnival of New Works, a series of new plays by writers from around the country, running January 22nd through the 31st. HubbardHall.org. And Joyelle's Jewelers, Del Mar, celebrating 25 years, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, now featuring Mark Schneider Designs, engagement and wedding rings, and more. JoyellesJewelers.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us. And let us go back to topics at hand. We will talk about a couple of things. First of all, I think we knew some of this, but it was made official yesterday that 2015 was the hottest year in historical record.
Surpassing the record set only the year before. Two consecutive years of the hottest year on record. That's what's really significant.
Two consecutive years. And I do have to say that in all of the media reporting, and I was watching a lot last night, but I think in all of the media reporting, and it made me scream, where they'd say, even though it's cold outside right now, it was the hottest year on record.
Words have meaning.
How that works.
Yeah. And words have meaning. And if journalists are saying things like that, it mitigates the terror of, you know, of the message. Look, I'm sitting with two distinguished people here, Ira and Rosemary, and we all have grandchildren. And, you know, I think of my darling little grandbaby, you know, and his walking around and the fact that we are, that there are people in this country for profit who are subjecting our children and their children's children to pain to death. And it's disgusting. It really is. It makes me madder than almost anything else, these deniers.
Yeah, it's true. I wonder if the media is to blame. I mean, it's politicians who are promoting the idea that it's cold, so therefore we can't have global warming.
Right.
Do you remember the congressman who threw a snowball in Washington?
Yes.
When there was a blizzard in Washington and saying, oh, yeah, global warming, ha, ha, ha. So I actually think maybe perhaps not doing it great, but the media is trying to dispel that idea that it can be cold outside, as it is in Albany right now, and yet that doesn't change the fact that the last 2 years have been the hottest years ever. And it's an expensive fix that's going to take lots of concerted action. And do you see any effort to move towards that? We can't even fix the water in Flint.
Everybody went over to Paris.
You've had that. And I think to be fair, over the course of time, The media, and I hate to use it as a singular, but most media outlets have discussed the realities of global warming.
Right.
I think since it became actually, which is the word in vogue now? Is it global warming or climate change? I think the latter is better.
You have to say climate change because of the whole thing about warming.
Yeah,
when it's cold.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's a more effective. It's unfortunate that it started out as a global warming argument. And to Joe's point, you're going to see people this weekend in the middle in the Mid Atlantic states and in New York City looking at that blizzard and saying, "What's this about climate change or global warming?" So, but I think don't most of the polls suggest that people do recognize this as a problem, and there are some strides being taken, and the question is it being done fast enough?
Yeah, is it too late?
Yeah.
I mean, even if the countries of the world actually live up to their promises, it still isn't enough to really make a difference.
Well, and we're still looking a long way down the road. A warmer atmosphere. Oh, the end of the year was especially, this is from the New York Times article, the end of the year was especially remarkable in the United States, with virtually every state east of the Mississippi having a record warm December, often accompanied by heavy rains. A warmer atmosphere can hold more water vapor, and an intensification of rainstorms was one of the fundamental predictions made by climate scientists decades ago as a consequence of human emissions. And this gets into what we were talking yesterday about the situation in Flint, where you had all of the activists saying, look, if you keep doing this, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this is going to happen. And that's what happened. And it's the same thing with three decades of yelling and screaming by environmentalists saying, this is what is going to happen, and now we're seeing it.
Yeah, and I mean, to the point of is it too late, and it may be, but let's optimistically say it's not too late. I think there is some encouragement in that the millennials and the younger people, I believe, are more willing to buy into the concept of climate change.
And they have better reason, Ira, to do it.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to be around longer.
So they are going to be the ones who are going to be driving the bus if they're not already starting to drive.
One can hope. And we saw it with the gay marriage thing. Things can change real fast.
Hopefully it'll be an electric bus.
Yeah. Yes.
there's that.
A solar bus,
yes.
Ira.
But the sun's not out because of global warming. It's snowing.
I'm criticized by Michael for driving my car back, my Prius, 50 miles a gallon, back and forth between Albany and Great Barrington. So,
but
yeah,
you're driving
fly
an electric car,
much.
Hybrid.
I keep hearing
about
a
hybrid. It's better than most. On the other hand, you know, we are a pretty mobile society. We move around.
Yeah, I get criticism from listeners about how much I fly. I have a big global footprint.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, and of course, among the various ironies of this price of oil going down and what it's doing to the stock market and all the rest, it is making the price at the pump much less, which then theoretically will encourage people to drive more and perhaps go back to those gas-guzzling cars that they were getting away from.
I mean, even it's such a strange thing. Depopulation would be really decreasing the population would really be a great cure, and yet the economies of the world are set up that you have an increasing population. Japan is in trouble economically because its population is getting older and it's not being replaced. Ours is in that. Our whole system is set up in a way that hurts our planet.
And China is now allowing people to have more babies.
Because they don't have enough people.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how messed up is that? Your economic system is in conflict with environmental health.
Well, that's right. And we're looking at, you know, this precipitous stock market fall. That apparently is just completely related to the price of oil.
Oil and China, they're saying.
Yeah, well, China too. Yeah, there's no question. But think about that. Think of the Chinese sneeze and our stock market goes down. The oil goes to the point where I read yesterday that, or the day before, that one town in the Midwest, the oil was selling for 47 cents a gallon.
Wow.
I remember when I was a kid and got my first car, and gasoline was 25 cents a gallon. I remember it very well.
Wow. I don't ever remember it that low.
My first car, you would go into the gas station and ask for a dollar's worth of gas.
Yeah.
You'd get
four gallons.
All right, let's go with the, two more topics. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the elephant in the room right now is the stock market. You know, there are a lot of people who are really looking at their portfolios and what they have to retire on. And, you know, when you're losing 500 points at a clip or 400 points at a clip, and you look down and you find out that you either can't retire or that you have to work forever or that, you know, when you thought you were rich, you're not, you're broke, is a story that I think sort of rises to the top, although I don't see that kind of panic. After all, we discuss global warming first, and we've just gotten to the stock market now.
Well, we discussed it yesterday.
Yeah.
And the day before, but I don't know. I don't know what you.
I think you're just criticism. Wrong on all counts.
No, but I'm curious as to like
what you do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, and the markets are, you know, by the end of the day, we're leveling out a bit.
Yeah. But a bit is right.
You know, it's a bad day when you're happy that it only dropped 250.
Right. 250
points. Because it was 500 at one point.
Well, you know, there's the Rozelle philosophy, who, and I always say, oh, God, you know, this is terrible. And she always says, it'll come back.
Yeah. You diversify. You stay in it for the long haul. What else can you do? There's no – you're going to put it in gold,
no,
in
it
oil. It's crazy. And I think you're wrong. I think this is a top story, and people know it. It's the reason for the ridiculous politics we're seeing this year. People are uncertain about the economy and all the reassurances that, oh, look at the indicators. They're all good. People are not listening to that. They don't have jobs or they don't feel secure.
I think people think the fundamentals of this – of the U.S. economy – are still strong enough that it's not going to just fall through the bottom. I think another thing that was
some
worth
people
pointing
think that.
Out, and I hope I heard this statistic correctly yesterday, was that the number more or less where the Dow is today is where it was about 2 or 3 years ago.
Correct.
So in other words, it really zoomed up, and it may have been
back.
Disproportionately high.
Right.
I heard
correct.
Hugh Johnson this morning,
yeah.
who is our great favorite here and, you know, a guy who we really rely on, basically – you know, talking about, you know, take it easy here. You know, this is not going to be the end of the world, and it'll come back. I hope he's right.
I guess one of the things that the experts are saying you should watch is, as it relates to the oil price, is how much investment the banks have in oil, and does it place any banks in danger of failing?
Well,
and we're not there yet, and hopefully we'll never come close to that, but that's what people might be.
Well, I heard a guy this morning, an expert, a so-called expert, I should say, saying that there will be many bankruptcies as a result of what's happening here.
Well, bankruptcies is different than the banks failing.
No.
Individual or company
No, but it's all a chain, a feeding chain, if you think of it. I mean, you can't get a loan, you can't move forward, you can't build your business from a bank. It may be because of what you've just posited.
Yeah. Well, you look at some, you know, there are anecdotal signs in the economy that make me nervous beyond the stock market, such as the closing of many Macy's stores or the closing of many Walmart stores and those kinds of things that are going on. You know, you look down in my market at the Hudson Valley Mall, where it's going to lose Macy's and it's already lost JCPenney. So that's two out of the four anchors.
And we lost the Macy's in
So those kinds
of things.
We
have way too many malls. Number one. And number two is the whole economy and the world is undergoing transformation as we go to switch to digital.
Well,
we don't need stores
but
anymore.
But to your point, though, that is the big picture view, but then each of those stores employs hundreds of people and all of the thousands of dollars
and
that
speaks to the crisis we're all in right now, which is these things all add up to more unemployment. And all you have to do is look at my pal, long gone, long past, as we said. Dead, in other words.
at the present time.
Sebastian DiGrazia, you know, who wrote a book called Of Time, Work, and Leisure in the 1960s, which predicted all of this.
Sure.
Said we're all going to be, there's going to be less employment as a result of this. And what we should do, he said, is share more, have a 2-day work week or a 3-day work week, you know, whatever else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's even harder to implement than fixing the environment.
Right.
Yeah.
We have 2 minutes left. How many letters can we get in 2 minutes? Let's
Julius, our old friend, industrial production, one of the indications of economic health, has leveled out. A decrease in production has been an indicator of all of the recessions to date. And Jerry says, Alan, please clarify, you compared the price of oil to that of gasoline. Well, maybe I've missed something here, but when oil goes down to, you know, $24 a barrel as opposed to $100 a barrel, gasoline gets cheaper.
Oh,
maybe I'm barking up the wrong street, tree. Franz says, great conversation on climate change regarding the use of terms. Both global warming and climate change are accurate and appropriate. Global warming results in climate change. When we talk about global warming, we're talking about average temperatures over long periods of time, not just years, but decades. Great show, great panel. Okay. And Shane says, or Shan. Dear Dr. Shartok, people making money in the despoiling of the earth, capitalism married to democracy without a third unifying force, such as a Bill of Rights, equals violence. We've been separated from nature by our beliefs. So don't you think would have to get to the root of the problem to fix it, or are we going to cut off the flowers to kill the weeds? Best buy. But buy bull. Head games on you and we.
That sounded Whoa. Like Sarah Palin.
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
And you read that accurately, I'd like to
thank
just
you.
Say.
You
this was not Alan reading.
No, this was the letter.
It
wasn't just Alan reading. Okay. Philip says, why don't we address the issue of overpopulation?
I just did.
Yeah, you did. This planet can't handle these numbers under our current lifestyle. Stop making babies.
And if you stop making babies, then all the economies of the world fail and you have a different kind of problem. It's a conundrum.
It's a conundrum. Where has the discussion been on the Yahoos in Oregon? Okay. And
that's a good point. I don't know what to say about them.
I don't even know if they're still there. I presume they are.
They can't. They're trying to drum up support from local people, other ranchers who... Sorry. Shut up. Goodbye. Shut up.
Okay. We'll be back. We'll continue the conversation tomorrow. The roundtable continues. You're listening to the roundtable on WAMC.